Newman Jets Audio Network. This is the JetCast, the official podcast of Newman University Athletics, featuring exclusive interviews with coaches, players, administrators, and more. The JetCast podcast is brought to you by Ascension Via Christi, Big Corner Creative, Donlinger Construction, Dr. Brennan Lucas and Advanced Orthopedic Associates, Eck Agency, Keystone Solid Surfaces, Mel Hambledon Ford, and by Pepsi.
What is going on? Welcome back to the JetCast here on the Newman Jets Audio Network. I am Jackson Schneider, and this is episode 148 of our show, a Friday episode, and a great interview coming to you with the brand new head baseball coach of the Newman Jets, Lance Spongberg. And Coach, was such a blast to talk to today. I'm so excited for you all to hear from him and kind of hear about his past as a coach and what his vision is for the future here at Newman. It's a really fun interview, about 20-some minutes of just talking baseball and getting to know Coach. It's going to be a blast. But before we get into that, as always, let's take a look at what's been going on in Newman Jets athletics. Earlier this week, the men's golf team was down in Oklahoma as they were in action at the NSU Men's Classic in Tulsa, and Newman finished in 14th place in the two-day tournament at Paige Belcher Golf Course in Tulsa. They were in 11th after day one, fell back a bit after day two, but another strong start in a talented field there down in Tulsa. Thomas Asgeirson and Braxton Muldoon led the way for Newman. They both shot 68 in the opening round. I can't even fathom shooting a 68. I can't even dream of a 68 on the golf course, but really, really solid from them on day one. They also shot 73s in the second round of competition, tying for 31st individually with their round their two-round score of 141. Newman will be back in action, though, on the golf course September 29th, just over a week from now, as they host the Newman Fall Invite, their home tournament here in the Wichita area. So look forward to that. But Newman men's golf down in Oklahoma earlier this week, again, finishing in 14th place. Additionally, women's soccer was back at home earlier this week, and they fell short to Northwestern Oklahoma 2-1. Newman's lone goal in the match came from Catherine Wilson in the 29th minute. The Jets were down 1-0 early, but they equalized as Delphine Sosu, who we've heard from on this show earlier this year, has won a Conference Player of the Week award. She ended up setting up Morgan Todd, who then set up Catherine Wilson, and the Jets got on the board in the loss. Again, they fall 2-1, but Kat Wilson got her first goal of the year. Delphine and Morgan Todd both with those assists. And the Jets, after the loss, still sit in a very solid positioning. 1-3-1 on the year, but big steps forward so far. And they'll be back in action here in just a few hours in Wichita. They'll host Southern Nazarene at 7 o'clock Saturday night, where they'll be celebrating senior night. Should be a really nice evening. Get out to Wilkins Field, support the ladies on the pitch, and enjoy some soccer. It is a blast out there. I've been out a few times, and can't wait to see them back in action. But again, the Jets on Wednesday night fell 2-1 to Northwestern Oklahoma State. But that's what's been happening over the last few days in Newman Athletics. We will tell you what's coming up after we get to our feature interview with head baseball coach Lance Spongberg. That'll be coming up next here on the JetCast on the Newman Jets Audio Network.
From the moment you walk through the doors at Ascension Via Christi, you'll hear the sounds of hope, health, and strength. Because Ascension Via Christi is more than just hospitals, ERs, and clinics. Ascension Via Christi teams start by understanding you, your health, and your life to deliver the care that's right for you. Connected to a national network of care and the expertise of a wide range of doctors and specialists. Ascension Via Christi in Wichita. Listening to you, caring for you. Find a doctor online at healthcare.ascension.org.
Dawnblinger Construction is currently hiring qualified CDLA truck drivers, heavy equipment operators, and heavy civil concrete carpenters for projects in and around the Wichita metro area. Dawnblinger Construction is employee-owned and offers competitive weekly pay and benefits. Quick start your new career and apply online at dawnblinger.biz. That's dawnblinger.biz. Dawnblinger Construction is an EEO-compliant employer. Veterans, women, and minorities encouraged to apply.
Welcome back into the JetCast here on the Newman Jets Audio Network. Jackson Schneider, pleased to be joined now by one of the newest Jets in head baseball coach Lance Spongberg. And coach, welcome to Wichita. I mean, you've been around the Kansas area. You're very familiar with this area, but it's new digs for you and a new challenge. I'm sure you're excited.
Absolutely. Spent a handful of summers down here in Wichita, so very familiar with the local area. From South Central Nebraska, 3 hours up the road, grew up there and spent a lot of my time there. And then about 6 years in between Ottawa, Kansas and Kansas City and that Kansas City area. So very familiar with Kansas and happy to be back.
Well, you take on a program that has so much history when it comes to baseball, but the last few years it's kind of just been a little bit below maybe what the standard has been. I know you've got visions for success and you've been around a lot of success baseball wise, but in your experience, I mean, year one, what do you have to do to kind of lay the groundwork for success in the future?
Yeah, pretty much exactly what you said is lay the groundwork. What we expect on a daily basis, how we want to play the game, how we want to handle ourselves on a daily basis, and making sure we build a culture of close-knit group that wants to fight for each other. It's really hard to win baseball games when you're playing for yourself and you got 30 guys pulling in 30 different directions. But if we can get them all on the same track and make sure they understand this is the direction we're going and we're one voice as not only a coaching staff but as a team, you can make some things happen, and you can make them happen quickly if you can get everybody on board.
Well, that's certainly a challenge, kind of, to get everyone to buy into to one identity, especially when you've got so many new faces, you know, yourself included, in kind of building that identity that you want, that culture that you want here. So take me through kind of how you go about building that, you know, and getting the guys to want to fight for one another.
Yeah, really, really tough when you got 31 newcomers and three new coaches. But the good thing is my two assistants have been great so far. One comes from a coaching tree that I'm very familiar with out at Colorado Springs. And he spent time with a hitting guy that I coached with for 3 years of my career, and then the other guy played for me and understands what I want out of him, and he works really hard and stays there. So we should have one voice there and how we want to do things. And then really kind of the beauty of it is you have 31 new guys. It's tough, but it's that makes it a little bit easier as well when you recruit guys and you tell them this is how it's going to be and this is what you're signing up for. Like, it's easier to get those guys on board. And then the returners coming back, they've been great here the past 3-4 weeks being around them. They're eager for change, eager for structure, eager for somebody to come in and push them on a daily basis. So it's been great with those guys, having them just hop on board to something new, because like you said, it's been a little bit of a struggle the past 3 years, and they want change just as bad as everybody else. So we're here to bring that vision, and it starts with just laying down your expectations, laying down exactly what you want out of them, and then on the flip side, holding them to it on a daily basis and not letting anything slip.
Now, I'm curious kind of that off-the-field relationship, too, because there was a soccer match a week or so ago. I swear everybody on the roster was in the stands and the guys were having a good time. I feel like little things like that can help go a long way, too.
Yeah, that's the start of it, of creating a culture where you got guys that are being around each other. And, yeah, it'll take me putting them around and making sure we're around each other as much as we can at the start. But hopefully inside the program, it becomes something that is just something ran by them, that they want to go do things together. They want to spend the evenings together out watching big football games or catching a game on campus and things like that. So at the start, it'll be me, because we need to be around each other and force them to get out there and enjoy it. But yeah, it was definitely a good sight to see when we scored a goal and the stands went crazy and one of our guys was running the smoke bomb around and things like that. So that was enjoyable to see. But yeah.
So from a coaching perspective, you've been around a lot of success, and you've gotten to work with a lot of coaches that have kind of breeded that success. Is there anything that you've learned from your previous stops that you really like to pick from? I mean, I'm familiar with the programs that you've been at, you know, Ottawa and Southeastern. I mean, programs that are synonymous with baseball success. There has to be little nuggets you learned along the way, right?
More than little nuggets, that's for sure. But there's a lot of things that I learned along the way. Coach Gabe Grinder at Ottawa and then out at Southeastern taught me a ton. Just the organization and how you want to run a program, what the expectation is on a daily basis in practice and how you want to practice, how you force guys to practice. And then the biggest thing is, how do you hold guys accountable, and making sure we're doing things on a daily basis in the way we want to do them and in the systems and the ways that we want to do them. And then, the building that culture was something I grabbed heavily from William Jewell. I spent 3 years there, and they had an unbelievable culture when I walked in the door, and I just tried to soak in as much as I could from them, because they've coached Mike Stockton up there, spent 23, he's, I think he's on his 25th year now there, and he's instilled something that I'll say to this day is I've never seen anything like it. It's just guys that are close-knit, and they find soon enough like you're in their wedding when you leave, because you just become that close, even if it's 2 years there. So grabbed a bunch of different things from there, but yeah, expectation, the culture piece, and then just what it takes to be an elite program, and how you got to do things on the field.
Well, I listened to another podcast that I told you this before we started recording, but you went on the D2 baseball podcast not long ago, and one of the things that stuck out to me was kind of the differences in how the game is played in different places. You know, maybe you bunt a little bit more in certain areas than others and some things like that. So I'm kind of curious your philosophies. I mean, you've been molded by different coaches and different places. Is there any specific identity on the field that you're looking to build right now?
A tough team, a tough group that shows up every day ready to go is first of all, first and foremost, we need to be tough. We need to be ready to go. We need to give everybody a fight on a daily basis. Take care of the baseball defensively. Fill the strike zone up with multiple pitches. That's the name of the game everywhere, but that's obviously an identity you have to have if you want to be successful. So and then offensively, just being dynamic. We're gonna bunt, but there's gonna be days where we're gonna swing and hit the ball in the gap as well, and live on that. It kind of, in the Midwest, it's a little different, and you got to dictate your game based on the day. Some days the wind's blowing straight in, some days the wind's blowing straight out. You might have to play the small ball on a Friday, but then Saturday rolls around and there's no need for small ball because it's going to be 12 to 10 game, and things like that. So the being dynamic, and then for me the identity is just being able to do things to produce runs in ways that some teams just won't do, and some teams refuse to do. And that's kind of when I talk about identity and playing for each other, is you're willing to hit the ground ball the other way just to move a guy up, or you're willing to change the way you're looking at something so you can contribute to the team, find a way to get a run in, whether it's early or late in the game, it doesn't matter. Runs still count the same in the first and the ninth.
Well, the wind is going to be a big factor here. I'm sure you might have heard a little bit about that, but we had some games in my 2 years here now that any pop up to the pitcher on certain days is getting over the left field wall. So that'll be a certainly fun experience for you, because I know Mother Nature here in Wichita is going to try to have a field day every once in a while. But I like the versatility idea, and you know, looking at a team where you've got so many new faces and you've only gotten to work with them now as we're doing this interview for really a couple of weeks and not even a week as a team. So how do you go about trying to mold and find guys that fit in certain spots to fill all the many different roles that you'll need to fill different roles, you know, on any given day?
Competition for sure. Throughout the fall, we're gonna develop you throughout the day and throughout the week. But ultimately, we're gonna put you in a ton of competition and find out where you stack up against each other. Really learn about you and find out what type of player you are. I'm not here to change anybody. I recruited you because you can play for one way or the other. Let's not try to completely change you. If you're a guy that can steal bases and find a way on base by hitting the ball on the ground, like, let's hit the ball on the ground and do things that way. If you're a guy that lifts it, I'm not going to force you to hit the ball on the ground all the time, right? Like, I'm not here to change everything about everybody. Let's utilize what you're really good at and try to maximize your potential and get you to where we can use you on a daily basis in our lineup. So for me, it's development and then putting them in competition, finding where they succeed, and then shoot, we got 4 months to try and figure out how we can put a lineup together to produce some runs.
Well, looking at the new team that you've got, you mentioned 31 new guys and just a handful of returners from last year's group. Has anyone stood out to you so far that you think, you know, that here's a guy that's, you know, from day one kind of been exactly what we're looking for?
Yeah, there's a handful of guys that over these last 3-4 weeks, just kind of watching them and working with them on an individual basis, that they've kind of stood out. Colin Morris from Maple Woods Community College up in Kansas City has been really good out in the outfield for us. Justin Birch in the middle infield from Central Washington. Kanan Kaku from Western Oregon will come in the outfield and play a little bit. Brett Coker from Olney Central. Community College over in Illinois, he's had a good start. Just there's a handful of guys I could go on and on that I'm glad we have on our team on the mound. Jaden Talley from Lamar Community College over in Colorado can throw it a little bit, and Ryan Othen from Antelope Valley Community College out in California. Like, there's endless guys I can go on and on about. We just got to find the way to mold those pieces into each other, help them work together to create a lineup, create a pitching staff that we can put out there on a daily basis and help us win. But yeah, we have some newcomers that'll help, and shoot, don't forget about the returners. We need to make those guys better and continue to grow with them as well, because they're going to be huge pieces to it.
Absolutely. Now, on a personal note, for our listeners that want to get to know you, you mentioned you're from Nebraska. Yeah. So does that mean you're a Cornhusker? Is that?
Yeah, you betcha.
I figured.
We're 3-0 right now. I'll say yeah real quick right now. We'll see in about 3 weeks and see what happens. But
hey, no disrespect for me right now. The team I root for is 1-3. So it's all good. I got it coming. But one thing I noticed really early on is you love your sports teams. Giants and the 49ers too. I think we're gonna get along really well. We might disagree every once in a while, but I think we can get along there. Tell me how your passion for sports kind of got started, and you know, how you ended up being a fan of teams in San Francisco if you're from Nebraska.
Yeah, the short answer is my father. He grew up out in San Jose until I think it was sophomore year of high school. So he spent a lot of time out there going to Giants games, going to 49ers games. He's a Warriors fan, but I locked onto Kobe at when I was younger, so I'm more of a Lakers guy. But he's the reason why out there. And then just the passion for sports ultimately comes from him as well. I just remember waking me up to watch Barry Bonds try and break the record at God knows what hour and find a way out there. But yeah, he's the reason. And then just being from a small town, town of about 1300, school of about 100, you had your core group of guys, and our group guys were very competitive, and man, we found every chance we could to get out and play something, whether it was pick up baseball, pick up basketball, just in school sports and stuff, just being competitive with each other. And that pushes you a long way when you got guys around you that want to push you and beat you ultimately at everything you do. So that's kind of where sports and passion comes from. I That's what I eat, breathe, and sleep. So sometimes my wife doesn't enjoy it as much as I do, but I love it, and it's what I do on a daily basis.
Now, to fine-tune that, when did you know baseball was the path for you? Obviously, it's been so lucrative. I mean, a playing career now into coaching and taking over the program here. When did you realize baseball was your path?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one because baseball is always the path. What avenue in baseball was the secondary question, and I'm a little bit different. It was probably a year after I got done playing that I really decided I wanted to be a baseball coach. I was working as a clubby for an independent team up in Sioux City, Iowa, and Morningside's new head coach at the time, Adam Bouvey, gives me a call and says, "Hey, come out to lunch. I want to talk to you a little bit about the opportunity to come coach." And I really wasn't interested, to be honest. I didn't really want to do it. I wanted to continue in the clubby route and trying to get affiliated ball and stuff like that. But I took the lunch. We connected really well. He's a great dude. He gave me a lot of opportunity within his program. And I took it and kind of ran with it and really enjoyed it for a year with him, and then decided to go get a master's down at Ottawa, got my master's as a GA, stayed there for a year, and then the rest is a road around the country. So that's kind of where it all started and how late, I should say, it was. But baseball was always the where I wanted to be.
Now, you've been at stops all over the country. As you just mentioned, you know, what's maybe the best part of that? Because I know moving is hard. It's hard on you. It's hard on a family. But there's a lot of cool experiences that came with that. I'm sure, you know, you got to meet new people and all the fun travel. But what was maybe the best part of some of your stops around the country previously?
Yeah. Obviously, Ottawa University, that stop was great. I loved it there. And that was the people that I got really started coaching with, and got to learn a ton. That was kind of my learning stage where, hey, it was, you're going to work 20 hours a day and we're never going to stop because I got nothing better to do in Ottawa, Kansas. But I learned a ton. I used that time of my life as to be a sponge and try to prepare myself for this ultimately. I still tell them that day, like, I had another opportunity, but I'm glad I didn't take it because I wasn't ready and I wouldn't have been organized and ready for it. Then when I went to William Jewell, that was a great spot with another great coaching staff that I think dearly of, and I'm happy I spent time there. But they allowed me to run with my program and kind of expand myself as an individual, as a coach, and grow in that way, where I have a lot of autonomy in my area, and pushed a little bit further that way. But Kansas City was great. I'm not a big Chiefs guy, but I did spend my fair share of time at Kauffman Stadium, and got to take my son there, probably shoot 40 times in a year, and that's where he started, and a lot of memories coming there. And then going down to Florida, that was a tough decision. Just moving halfway across the country with a one-year-old, and my wife wasn't too fond of it because we were leaving family 23 hours away. And but ultimately, for the good of my career, she was on board and she supported me. So she's been great through the whole process. But going down there, get to experience something a little different. Man, it's living in Florida was great. Going to the beach on Sundays, enjoying our time out there, going to the amusement parks. But ultimately, it led to the opportunity of coming here. And my wife is a little happier coming back this way. I will say that. But it was, and my son was old enough. He hopped on a flight with grandma, and we drove it out a couple weeks later and things like that. But it's been great here as well. People are great. I like Wichita. Like I said earlier, I spent four summers here, four or five summers playing and coaching, and reconnected with my host family, actually, that I spent time with down there. They let us shack up with them and enjoy time with them. But just rekindling relationships that were not gone, but just minimized a little bit from being a further away. And then just the people, growing relationships within our athletic department has also been huge with the amount of help Zach Brake and Kenyon Spears and Mo have given me here has made the transition very easy, and hope to make a lot of good memories here in Wichita as well.
Now, I could talk your leg off all day long, but I'll keep it short before we get into one last thing here. But you mentioned your summer ball experience. Was that am I correct, the Hayesville Aviators, is
yep.
that right?
Yep.
So you play and coach for them for a while?
Yeah, I played for them for 2 years, and I coached for them, I think it was 4 years. There was 2 years in between, but I coached there for 4 years as well. I went to the NBC World Series as a player and a coach, enjoyed that process, and being able to just work on a daily basis with guys kind of like here, like guys that I don't know, but got to build those relationships. And there's still guys around the country that I still talk to that played for me, and then the assistant coaches I had during those times, I still stay in contact with them. So baseball's a small world, and you find a lot of connections between summer ball and school ball and coaches here and coaches there. So I'm grateful for those moments and the people that allowed me to the opportunity to not only play but coach there as well.
Awesome. Well, the reason I asked that was, I mean, there's so many good summer ball programs and different baseball teams around the Wichita area. I'm sure that excites you about like the potential and the kids that are going to be just down the street all year round that you could maybe bring into this program and build for the future.
Absolutely. Wichita has a great baseball community, not just summer ball, but they have what, 15, 20 teams here in the Wichita area, and then just the high school baseball around here as well is really great, and the travel ball. So it's something that we definitely know we need to tap into and get more of the local guys here, because you never want to let good baseball players leave the city and things like that. So that's something that we're going to make a priority this year and the years coming, is getting those guys to stay around here and hop on board with us and allow their families to come out and watch them a little bit more. So Wichita's baseball community is great, and we're just far enough away from everywhere else that we can be our own, right?
Absolutely. Well, last thing, promise. I'll let you go at some point, but you got a golf tournament coming up, a bit of a fundraiser for the program here in October. Tell us a little bit about that and how folks can get involved.
Yeah, we have a golf tournament coming up on October 25th. We actually play Butler the night before, Friday night. They're going to come over, Butler Community College, and we're going to play, it might be 16, 18 innings, but we're going to get a chance to get out there and compete with them. That's a great opportunity for families to come into town, alumni to come out and check it out, or anybody that's just a fan of Newman baseball to come out and enjoy a game, and then hopefully wake up the next morning and come out and play a little golf with us. Tee times, I think it starts at 9, and the way you can get connected with us is we're posting a link here later on today on our Twitter, and then also you can just email me or get in touch with me to get yourself signed up and things like that. For us, it's not about it is a fundraiser, but that's not the main core for us this year. We want to build those relationships with the people of the past, the guys that played here before, the guys that coached here before. Like, it's important that we start to grow those relationships, and we want this to be just an opportunity for them to come out, be around our team, be around the new guys, teach them a little bit about what it's like here at Newman, and then just getting to grow a relationship with our coaching staff, because we're joining their family, they're not joining ours and things like that. So I think it's important that we get ourselves plugged in with them, and we'd love to have as many of them as we could get out from anywhere around the country. So
awesome, Coach. Thanks so much for the time today. I appreciate it, and I'll be bugging you before you know it, almost on a weekly basis once the weather starts to warm up again or defrost. So you'll have to get reused to the winters, I'm sure.
I will. But I appreciate you, and thank you for everything you do for us.
Absolutely. That's Lance Spongeberg. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
Hey, boss, the backhoe was stolen from the valley job.
Great.
And our computers were hacked last night, and they got some of our clients' information.
Seriously?
And your wife called. She said the dead tree you were supposed to tear down fell on your neighbor's roof.
What am I going to do?
I'd call Eck Agency. They're great at providing insurance solutions to protect your business, work comp, home, and autos before these things happen. Call or text Eck Agency at 316-303-1905 or visit eckagency.com.
Let's face it, it's been a while since you updated your kitchen and bathroom. And while they fit your style when your house was built, styles change. Or maybe the space just isn't fitting your current needs. That's where Keystone Solid Surfaces comes in. Keystone is the premier fabricator and installer of quartz, granite, and solid surfaces. surfaces in Kansas. And with their huge brand new showroom at 1655 North Wabash in Wichita, providing the perfect inspiration, the possibilities are truly endless. That's why when it's time for an upgrade, the key is Keystone. KeystoneSolidSurfaces.com or find great specials on Facebook.
Wrapping up the JetCast here on the Newman Jets Audio Network, a busy weekend in Jets athletics, and we'll preview everything going on here as we wrap up our show. But first, want to give a big shout out to Coach Lance Spongberg for visiting with us today. Our first chat with him on the show. We'll visit with him a lot more in the springtime, but they were firing up fall practices and getting ready for all the fun that comes with that over the next few weeks. So I wanted to get him on and really appreciate him taking the time to talk with me about literally everything around his baseball experience and the Newman baseball program that he is looking to build up even further here in the future. But as we wrap up, as always, let's take a look at what's coming up here in Newman Jets Athletics this weekend and beyond. Well, this is a Friday episode, and we've got two volleyball matches going on today. At the time of this recording, Newman dropped their opener at the MIAA GAC crossover down in Shawnee, Oklahoma earlier today, falling to Southern Nazarene 3-0. They will play against Oklahoma Baptist tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time, and that will be live video streamed on the OBU Athletics website. Volleyball will finish up action down in Oklahoma tomorrow, as well as they'll take on Northwestern Oklahoma State. In that competition will be at 2:30 in the afternoon down in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Additionally, women's tennis was in action today. They'll be in action really all weekend down in Edmond, Oklahoma at the ITA Regionals hosted by the University of Central Oklahoma. On Saturday, both men's and women's cross country will head to Joplin, Missouri and run in the morning at the Southern Stampede hosted by Missouri Southern State University. Then Saturday afternoon out in Hays, Kansas at Fort Hays State University, men's soccer will be meeting Lubbock Christian out there in Western Kansas, taking on LCU at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on Saturday night, as we mentioned in our opening segment, women's soccer back at home, 7 o'clock at Wilkins Field. They'll battle Southern Nazarene. On Sunday, again, wrapping up the weekend, women's tennis down at the ITA Regionals down in Edmond, Oklahoma. And then Monday, men's soccer back in action at home, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, hosting the University of Jamestown. But following that, I'm so excited. Home volleyball for the first time this season. Next Thursday night, September 25th, we'll play host to Arkansas Fort Smith at 6 o'clock on Thursday. And then on Friday, play host to Central Oklahoma at 6 o'clock as well. Our first volleyball matches on the Newman Jets Audio Network and the MIAA Network coming in just a little less than a week. But as always, it's a lot of stuff going on. It's tough to keep track unless you're taking notes. Go to NewmanJets.com/calendar for the full composite schedule of Jets athletics. And of course, you can download the Newman Jets app today as well. Live stats, audio streams, schedules, everything you need. It's all in that app. So download it today. That's going to wrap up our show, episode 148 of the JetCast. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I am Jackson Schneider. We'll see you next time here on the Newman Jets Audio Network.
Hi, friends. Phil Nightingale, General Manager of Mount Hamilton Ford. Are you looking for a car, truck, or SUV?
With over 500 new vehicles, we are sure to have exactly what you want and what you need. Mount Hamilton Ford is sure to have your favorite color at a payment that fits your budget. Not looking for a new vehicle? No problem. Let our sales staff help you find a pre-owned vehicle. Over 90% of our vehicles are certified. That means peace of mind for you.
Shop us online or in person. Mount Hamilton Ford. Experience the difference.
Life, it throws you curves and it knocks you down. But what separates the good from the great is the getting back up. Newman University will always get back up. We are a university of doers, of innovators, of transformers. We inspire as we soar to new heights. We will not be beaten. We will not settle for anything less than the best. We are Newman University.